Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. When you started off with nothing.
Gentlemen, I am former Missouri wide receiver T.J. Moe, alongside...
Always a true son, though.
Thank you. Alongside the voice of the Slew Bilkins, Bob Ramsey. John Hadley stepped out. He plans on being back.
We won't hang our hat on those plans.
Whatever that means. Matt Rocchio here as well. We're going to dive into a discussion here about the Cardinals outfield. And the reason is because those are the biggest concerns... But we're going to discuss whether or not those concerns are nearly as merited as they are inside of our heads. But first, we're going to tell you about our friends over at Royal Banks.
Royal Banks of Missouri, you know what's going on right now. You know, I can always talk to you about home equity credit lines and rates and all those kinds of things. And at some point, I will. But right now, I want to be a little more timely to the season. And Royal Banks is conducting their annual Boo Bear Drive. And what that all is all about is putting a smile on kids' faces who might not otherwise have a lot of reasons to smile this time of year. What we're doing is collecting, we call it the bear, you know, the Boo Bear Drive, but really it's stuffed animals. And we collect stuffed animals to get to children by Christmas Day who otherwise might not have a bunch of presents. The new bears that you bring, well, they go to the children's hospitals that are treating kids battling cancer. The used bears that we clean appropriately, and they're still good. We send those to children's shelters. But none of your donations go wasted, because the stuffed animals that are deemed too used, well, they go to the Humane Society for the dogs and pups there to give them a little friend for the holidays. So bring a stuffed animal to any of the 11 Royal Banks locations, and you'll put a smile on a kid's face this Christmas. Royal Banks of Missouri, where better service means better banking. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Good stuff there. We love our friends over at Royal Banks. All right, so here's the discussion I've been thinking about for a...
Did I ever tell you that Royal Banks actually has a very cool debit card?
Do they?
I don't know about you, Bob, but I like cool debit cards.
Most of us don't
mine,
use...
The coolness always wears out so much that the card just is worn out. It's just a scuffed piece of plastic by the time I'm done with
kids,
it. Yeah, it's crazy. You know,
mine's still shining for now. All right, let's... that's because I don't have any money. But let's dive into the
door
discussion
heat.
That is also true. That's my wife. She, you know, my sorry, before we dive into this now, my wife, we were discussing the other day. We were up in Chicago. My brother said, how'd you guys decide, you know, did you just decide you're going to do traditional, you know, male-female duties of the household? Is that, you know, TJ works outside care or whatever? Because it came up that Kara makes dinner for us. And we said, no, not really. She said, I cook dinner because otherwise we wouldn't eat. TJ just
it's necessity.
Forgets to eat half the time, and there would never be a... I mean, I do. I skip 9 meals a week. I mean, just whatever, if I'm not... That, so there would just never be dinner. She's like, so... But I'm not like that, so I have to go ahead and cook, so that just makes it for him, too.
I think that's reasonable, and most people don't sit down. You're the woman, I'm the man. Most people don't do that.
Right.
No, normal people. And maybe you did it your home, listeners, and that's fine. I'm not judging you, only a little.
I do a lot of dishes.
I hate doing dishes, yeah. But I am the laundry Nazi. Stay out of my laundry room. Stay out of my laundry room.
I like to tie everything up in a nice little bow, and I just said, assume, woman, it's your job unless I tell you otherwise.
And go make me a sandwich.
That's right.
That's it.
And now there are a lot of open jobs.
It's surprising that has worked, not as worked as well as you'd have thought.
Well, it worked for a while.
For a little while.
For a little while.
That's right.
It worked for 33 years. Now, well.
Now Brendan does it all.
Yeah, I did tell him the other day that there's one good thing about kids, that they're as useful as remotes as they grow older, and they're capable of doing things.
The problem is I created the next, I don't know what they are at their age. They're not millennials anymore. Whatever they are. They're worthless to help in the house.
Well, see, again, Bob,
then that's my fault. I don't blame them.
That's
my
saying.
Fault.
It's Gen
that's
Z
what I'm
saying.
Now, isn't it?
Each one.
What?
Gen Z? Isn't that the new?
Rock, what will you call your kid?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's going to be a completely different generation from the current one. That's
okay.
Sitting,
well,
so.
I think millennials are actually Generation Y.
Yeah, I set the tone early, boys. Second day after their eighth birthday, yeah. I put each one on my side in the winter. And I said, now, here is what life's like without having a spot in this house.
And it's cold.
And the only way to come back into
don't
this
change
house
the thermostat.
Is to commit to doing anything that you're told to do. Don't give me this crap that you can't hold the top of the lawnmower. I don't care.
Okay.
Find a way to cut the yard, woman.
Work on stilts.
A daughter's no different than men. No, the sons. Get out there. And after about 14 hours, sure, it takes a little while for them to mentally recover. But after that, everything's good.
And look, your toes probably won't stay black forever.
No.
The toenails will grow back.
Exactly. Seriously, what are toenails for? They serve no purpose.
We don't need
really.
Them. Don't worry
our
about it.
Exactly.
Meant to heal themselves, so you got to beat them up in order for the healing to happen, or else your body gets bored. That's
there
science.
You go. That's it.
See? Let me be Rock's dad for 2 weeks. You'll see a complete difference.
Rock would be bald.
Are you assuming my parents didn't make me do chores or something?
That's what we assume, yes.
Yeah, my parents.
Rock's parents
no, my parents were old school as hell. I remember one time I was like 9 years old. I come home. I'm like, now listen. I understand the whole chores thing. I'm not arguing that point. But I discovered this thing called an allowance, and I'm wondering, the jig is up, ladies and gentlemen. And they just looked at me like, yeah, you know your allowance? We're having dinner in 15 minutes.
We allow you to
that's
stay
your
here.
Exactly. And so my parents are old school. Like, it took me a couple of years before I even learned the concept of an allowance.
Yeah.
And no, it was we had the list of chores.
So let's do some math on this. There's five of us in this house. The electric bill was this. Here's your portion. The phone bill was this. Here's your portion. So actually, I paid $2,000.
They never. Yeah. See, my parents are also very busy, so they never actually were going to take the time and show me the math. They were just like,
yeah,
this is what we do.
Yeah.
Suck it up and clean the bathroom.
Now back to real.
Yet somehow you ended up here. I don't.
Doesn't
make sense.
Yeah. They also then made the mistake of telling me to find something you do something you love. And that was just, yeah, that was,
right, and you're still here.
That was their big mistake.
I assure you, he was not wanting for much, since all he wears is Brooks Brothers and polo shirts.
Hey, I work hard for this, thank you very much.
Now.
Well, I work here
back
for this.
To baseball.
Back to
I work here for this. Let me
back to the house
that
matters. Mr. DeWitt's house.
Mr. Right. DeWitt's house.
So here's the discussion to be had, I think. There is a ton of concern, but I think hope, but certainly concern, over left field and Marcelo Ozuna. If his shoulder is not right, I think a lot of people are wondering what you're going to get out of the left field position, both defensively and offensively. Defensively, even more concerned than offensively, because there were times that we watched him throw an 11-hopper into the infield in spring training last year. That was rough. But I think it's fair to say, with another offseason where you're going in and really diving into your rehab, he did have a minor procedure to clean up his shoulder, you can expect a different Marcelo Ozuna. So we always talk about this. Throw out his best year, which was 2017. Throw out his worst year, which, by the way, was not last year. That was actually 2015. Last year, he ended up, because of his surge in August or September, whenever that was, he ended up as an above-average hitter. He just wasn't the 2017 guy that you hoped that trajectory would maintain. So you have him to discuss. You have Harrison Bader and his offensive production to discuss, because he had a serious up-and-down season. Go look through his game log. He started out fairly well, tanked, then came right back, surged again. But what did play was his defense. But you do not know what you're going to get out of the position necessarily.
Sounds like my Apple stock.
Yes. Very similar to your Apple stock, except you started as a 9-time Gold Glover when you bought that. So you don't know. And I think we can look at his career averages only so much as last year, because that's only that is the career averages, right? So that's the hardest one. But for both Dexter Fowler, who, again, throw out the top, throw out the bottom here, he had his OPS was 59 last year. Throw out that one. But also throw out his last year with the Cubs. And you still have a very solid player. So you can, with Marcelo Ozuna and you can with Dexter Fowler, look at their career averages and say, if that's what you get, we're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, with Ozuna, I think you'll get it. I'm concerned with Fowler. I'm hopeful for Fowler, but I'm concerned because of the dramatic drop-off that it makes you feel like it's more than an anomaly. I'm just fearful of that. This, to see that dramatic, I mean, he was not a big league player last year.
No,
that's right.
And that concerns you, to be going from being pretty good season, not bad at all, glad we have you, to your performance doesn't make you a big leaguer anymore. It's terrible. What do we do?
If Fowler had 2016 season in 2017, Cardinals might have been in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And
it would have covered up a lot of issues that they had to deal with and recover from.
And by the way, his stat line in general in 2017 was actually better, not defensively certainly, but offensively it was actually better with the Cardinals because his power numbers were so much higher. Remember, he slugged .488 for the Cardinals.
You go back, there was a lot of lost power there. There were a lot of jacks that he hit one run shots when they're down 6-1 in the bottom of the eighth inning.
Right.
And it was largely
the back portion of the season as well.
It's like Dave Kingman. Dave Kingman was the monster of the solo home run when you're down by five in the ninth inning, Bob. I mean, I couldn't count on one hand the number of memorable home runs Dave Kingman hit, and he hit a lot of home runs.
But remember in 2017, he ended up, because of the team needs and because of the way he was not performing and some other things that, because it's a team, it's not individuals, not really hitting like a leadoff hitter. Carpenter had to move back up, so they had to find a spot for him. They needed a cleanup guy. He moved in there and showed that he still had some power. That was kind of his end numbers were all pretty good, right. But it was kind of a weird journey to get there in 2017.
Go ahead, Rock. Is it made me a bad person that my only thought process when I think of a healthy Dexter Fowler is that it takes away opportunities for Tyler O'Neill and Jose Martinez to get at bats?
You are more healthy than the person that thinks, dang it, I have to listen to his wife tweet now. So on the scale of
that's not saying much.
Thought.
Thank you, though. I mean, you're still saying I'm a pretty bad, like, if that's the only person I'm above, I'm a pretty bad person still. But, like, that's my only thought process with the healthy Dexter Fowler is that I just wonder, even at this point, how helpful is a healthy Dexter Fowler to this team compared to the development of a Tyler O'Neill or just the flat, solid offense you know you get when Jose Martinez is in the lineup?
I think Broneal, if Fowler was lights out in the spring and you end up keeping Martinez and he's hammering the ball all over the Grapefruit League, that and you felt like you didn't want Broneal at the end of the bench, he's young enough that more time playing every day at Triple A. He's not 28. Was he just turning 23?
Yeah,
is that
so.
Right?
He is 23 years old and 172 days. For reference to what you guys are talking about here, Tyler O'Neill last year in 130 at-bats had an average of .254, an on-base of .303, which you'd like to see be significantly
higher.
That's
horrible.
But he slugged .500.
And which is great.
Right.
So does he stay on the team? If I'm betting, I think he's on the big league club all year.
He has to, Bob, because Jose Martinez, you don't have a backup for center field.
Well, that's
he's
true,
not there.
Too.
He has
so,
to. The current makeup of the team, there's no way you can keep them all.
And so that, you know, and so the at-bats, though, you know, assuming Ozuna's health, assuming Bader's health, those guys are going to be fighting for at-bats, those other three guys,
mm-hmm.
Fowler, Martinez, and O'Neill.
And
they'll be fighting for at-bats, and that's just life. And then if that's just the way it works.
Throw either Jerko or Munoz in there as well. Yesterday, Mark Saxon was reporting that he said, look, Jed Jerko has been clear with John Mozeliak and everybody else that he is ready to play some outfield if he is to be on this team. So you have Jed Jerko. Now, I wouldn't throw him in the outfield, but he's a guy that you saw Munoz go get at-bats out there last year. So you're adding more bats to the mix as well, depending on where you need him, because you are probably, if I'm guessing, going to unload Jerko for a lefty utility guy.
I was just going to say that, assuming that it's reasonable to think that those five outfielders are going to be there, I think Munoz stays. I love his bat. And with another organization, he'd be a starting player, in my opinion. Mm. And so then you got another right-hander in Jerko, and you've got your backup catcher. You're only going to have five guys on the bench. So if you can get a left-handed bat, they're going to try and get it. I don't know who it is. I don't know where they'll find it. But that would be a better option.
Before I depart, because I'm being summoned,
Summoned or summons? Do you mean the cops are here?
Summons.
To... that's a possibility, too. I'm not going to rule that out. I mean, I prepare for it every day. I got three lawyers on speed dial. But
you don't know which buttons they are. It's problematic.
I'll tell you what. When it comes to Jerko and Martinez, sometimes I wonder if those aren't the kind of guys that if they're playing a key role is the reason why you're not that good.
Well,
because truth be told, they're not that good.
Martinez can really hit. That's going to be
he can hit in a limited. You give Martinez 500 at bats, and I guarantee you his numbers aren't pretty.
Last year he had 534 at bats, had batting average of .305, on base of .364, and he slugged .457.
I think he's a real big league hitter, but finding a place for him to play where he can get those at bats is the question. Yeah. In my mind.
How many times did he have 500 at-bats?
It was just once, but that is the...
That's one time. That's I assure you, with almost every baseball player, you can find one season
it's probably true,
that they have
but
spectacular
but it is the most
numbers.
Recent one, and you don't have a place for
you continue to expose him, and I just... When you have such deficiencies, and he might be the worst defensive player I've ever seen in my life.
He's pretty bad.
That's fair.
And yeah. We saw Greg Luzinski play left field.
Yes, that's true.
And Matt Adams.
Matt Adams. No, he's part of the problem, though, is he's not dedicated to being a good defensive player. And right. So, but he sure can rake.
Oh,
and if a guy can rake, there'll be a spot for him somewhere. Maybe not as a starter, maybe on the bench, maybe in another organization. And so can you find value there? But for a guy who can legit rake, there'll be a spot.
And again, that's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about as a bench player. I'm proud of the bench player.
Yeah.
But as a key component, guys like Martinez, you just can't be. There are certain guys you can understand, you can see how or why they would improve. I mean, Martinez would have to vastly improve just to be mediocre defensively.
That's true.
You know what I'm trying to say?
I think you said it. It was more than trying. You said it, and I agree. But,
because of the guys right now that would be the easiest to get off the Cardinals, at the trading deadline, the guy that would have been the easiest to get off the Cardinals would have been Martinez. Yeah.
And they're still trying right now, according to Derek Gould and Mark Sachs, and that is who they're trying to flip for a lefty reliever. We do have some breaking news now.
Trying to. That speaks volumes when other teams could use a bat, and you're still trying to get rid of this guy because other teams are seeing what I'm seeing.
Andrew McCutchen to the Phillies. Expected to be in the range of $45 million. That, according to Buster only, John Heyman says it is in the $50 million range.
I've always liked McCutchen, and I hope he has a bounce back.
3-year deal, 3-year, $50 million, according to John.
He's Heyman. A guy that got old fast.
Yes,
but he still can play. He's still a legitimate player, but he's not what he once was. You don't think so, Rock?
No. I'm just thinking because the money wise, this doesn't take them away from Harper. But did Kutch get? Did he get moved to left field this year?
He played.
I don't think he's playing center.
He played mostly left in San Francisco, the Yankees. Well, they moved him around.
Okay. Well, in his last year in Pittsburgh, he wasn't in center.
No, that's what I'm saying. He got moved out.
Young kid, he got old
fast.
No, yeah, and that's my thought process. But because the money, this certainly doesn't take them out of it, especially since they didn't throw everything at the one pitcher.
Money
who
is not an issue. Just forget. No. It doesn't matter.
Phillies, he did get old fast, fellas. But last year he was 20th in the bigs in on base percentage. .368.
Yeah, he's a good player. I've always been a fan. I love him.
Not a bad potential pair of corner outfielders there.
Right. So, some news for you there. There was at least in the long range rumor mill there that people said, "Well, McCutchen's always out there. If you need to go grab a guy, obviously that is not to happen." And most of us didn't want that to happen. But John Hadley, thank you for stopping by. So we're sitting here in a place I think with the Cardinals in general. We talked about Dexter Fowler. As a guy, I think at this point, it would be a surprise, I guess. So I'm fairly neutral on this. I told you, you'd be very surprised. I am expecting it to be Dexter Fowler in right field. I would not be floored, I should say. I wouldn't be shocked. Maybe I'd be surprised. I would not be shocked if they are actually extending a real offer to Bryce Harper and they find a way to get that done.
And I'm not ruling it out. You know, across
style.
The board, but I think their MO says no. So we'll see. I hope you're right.
So
I hope you're right.
Dexter Fowler's career averages And as you said, let's even take it down 5-10% of what the career average is, because you're taking out last year too.
Would he be 250, 350 on base for what slug? 420?
So 420 is his career average, so, if you're including last year. I think you have to throw last year out to really get a gauge on that, so it's probably about right.
And so a 400 slug, if he played every day and hit, you know, 250, 260, and 15 homers and 75 RBIs and played a better right field, you'd probably be okay with that as a switch hitter, as long as he performed from both sides of the plate.
Yeah, you sure don't want him doing what he did last year.
And that's why I've been going, until they make a move, I always have to look at it, okay, we can kind of try and guess what would happen, and then secondarily, what we would like to see happen. But then I think there's a third thing to look at. If what you had right now is what you have opening day, what would it look like? And I think it would be a Fowler-Martinez platoon unless Broneal hit 450 in the Grapefruit League and said, forget it, you old dudes, go sit down because I'm playing right field. And yeah. That's the kind of attitude he has. Can he back it up with playing time? That would be interesting to see.
Yeah, O'Neill is not going to, on this roster today, get too many at-bats because his real position is going to be, well, we have you because we have no one else to take center field if Harrison Bader either gets hurt or takes a day off. That's it.
Unless, though, Fowler loses the job in spring training.
Right. No, exactly right.
Yeah, exactly right.
Assuming,
you're saying as of today.
As of today. Gotcha. Assuming it all goes like that, then that's what he's not going to have too many at-bats. But as a guy who's athletic, at different times, his glove really flashed at different times.
Although, he is pretty spastic.
He is.
He's a little bit of a spaz. He gets a little jacked up.
He doesn't get a great jump on the ball, really. He kind of jumps the wrong way sometimes.
He'd be as good a left fielder as there is in the game. Center fielder, he can play it. Right field, he can play it.
He'll take himself out of play sometimes with that.
But
that
he is athletic.
Yeah, he reminds me.
He can really run.
Is it fair that I'm worried that the whole, winning the job in spring training, that the Cardinals are going to have a very relaxed definition on what winning the job in spring training is, considering the money tied up in him?
I don't think so.
Is that an unfair?
I'm
being unfair in this situation.
I think Mike Schilt and the Cardinals know that they got to perform this summer.
My rebuttal to that would be Schilt played Fowler when he was hurting this team until Fowler got hurt.
That's because his leash and expectations after last year's departure of Matheny were zero. This actually matters.
Yeah,
sure.
And he, it wasn't ever stated out loud, and I'm sure it had something to do with how well they played. Absolutely. I don't want to discount that. But he was their handpicked guy for the job, and I think he knew it. So he had a serious job.
And he was interim, and now he's the real guy.
With a guy like Mike Schilt, though, who is, he's been here for a long time. You think that one of the reasons they kept him wasn't just the surge, but because he's a company guy who's been here for so long, who knows the mindset they want to build and the culture. And I just feel like that's not going to, like, how much control he has isn't going to change that much this year. I'm having a hard time believing that.
I think the Cardinals let the managers manage for the most part, unless something weird happens, like the manager has a bromance with one of the players.
I was going to say, they trade him away to stop him from playing him?
Okay, well, yeah. I don't know. I could be wrong.
That's happened in the last 3 years. So it's shocking to me that you're saying this is an organization that's hands-off.
But are you saying, but that's hands-off. Hands-on would be calling down and telling him, no, hit Carpenter third today. That would be, to me, that's hands-on.
Okay.
Or don't you dare pitch so-and-so today. I don't think the Cardinals do that. Could be wrong. Don't know. They didn't do it when La Russa was there.
Is in your job description as a general manager.
Yeah.
So that's that you're hands-on in your own job there. I got rid of a player and I added a different player. That's not the manager's job. So I'm not sure you can.
I'll give you the roster, you manage it.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not going to tell you what to do with it. But
unless you screw it up,
yeah.
And then I'll fix it.
Right. But either way, I'm still not going to tell you who.
Right.
I may give you less places, pieces to play with.
I guess my point was going to be more, with Matheny, we knew that his strong connection with DeWitt definitely changed his relationship with Mozeliak and Gershad. Matheny was undoubtedly a DeWitt guy. I wonder if there's a different dynamic.
I think there's more nuance to it than that. I think it's too easy of a narrative. Not that you're not a lazy guy with the narratives. I think that Mo wanted him to be the manager when they hired him. He was a Mo guy. I think they were all everybody was on board, is my opinion, my read. And then who soured first and how did it go bad?
Yeah, I'm not
that's a different deal.
I won't disagree with you on the start. I would agree with that. I am talking about this from the last year and a half or so of how it looked from the outside of who was in camps and certain things like that.
Yeah. But I don't know how that applies to moving forward.
Here's how all of what you're saying, I think, can be encapsulated in why and what. And that is that there have been reports all offseason about how Mike Schilt is scheduling meetings with the analytics department to get on the same side, and that's never happened before, and that's the direction the Cardinals have wanted to go, and they probably didn't have to tell him to do that. So it's more or less
great point. Yep.
A guy that thinks the same way that they're allowing to do what they want. They just happen to find a guy that thinks more along the path of the trajectory they wanted to go instead of more of an old school guy like Mike Matheny.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
We should get a break probably. So what we're going to do is hit a break, and then we have not talked any Blues. We have a little bit of sound here from Braden Shen.
Before we go to the Blues after the break, let's run through the pitching staff real quick, and we'll throw it as a teaser to pick up later in the week.
You got it. We will roll right into that, and we'll tell you about our guys. We got a cool remote at some of our friends over at Newsteaders. We'll tell you all about that here shortly. Don't forget, too, Chris Kerber, you're going to hear him at the end of the show previewing tonight's game against the Florida Panthers. So stick around for all that. We'll be back shortly. It's Hardline.